to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, see your Cleveland Browns at work this summer during Cleveland Browns training camp presented by your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers, going on July 30th through August 15th at the Cleveland Browns training facility in Berea, Ohio. Get your free tickets to Browns training camp beginning this Friday, July 17th at 10 a.m. on clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. Nathan Zgur, Andrew Gribble here. We've got a couple questions coming to us on Twitter. Here's our first one right here. How possible is it that Danny Shelton doesn't start week number one?
I would say very possible, because I don't think starting maybe even matters on this defensive line, because it's all about maybe the look you're going to see and things like that, and kind of adjusting to whatever that offense does. So I think it'd be very possible for that to happen, but I do think he's going to have a big role, I would think, immediately within this defensive line group and be in that rotation. But there's also guys like, you know, Phil Taylor coming back, even a guy like Kitchen, who's been playing really well and the coaching staff really likes. And then it just depends on how you start the game, whether if you open up in a nickel look or something like that. I mean, I think starting in NFL can be very misleading on how many starts a guy can have. But I think he'll play a significant amount of snaps in that first game.
Yeah, I certainly believe that he's going to, whether he starts or not, he's going to play a significant role right out of the gate.
Right. And I think it'll be interesting to see. We'll get a look at Shelton throughout training camp. And I think by the end of training camp is when he's going to be in that kind of great shape that he was throughout his senior season, because he's a big guy. I think his weight fluctuates a little bit, and we only got to see him for 3 days at mini camp, and that was after basically a month and a half that he devoted very heavily to school. But I thought he came back in very good shape, but I think he's going to be in even better shape by the time training camp comes around, and we'll really see what he can do on the field.
Yeah, I think depending on whether he starts could depend on when you go out and you line up for the first snap against the Jets. If they come out with four wide receivers,
right,
what formation, what personnel going on, then I don't see. He could start, he could not. Is he going to? I think he will absolutely play a significant role week one and be in there playing as many snaps as they had hoped he would play when they drafted him.
Yeah, I just think he's, and again, it's like we sort of just forgot about him for a little bit because he wasn't here for OTAs, so maybe he wasn't getting much pub and maybe he wasn't getting much attention, and people are thinking that that's bad news, that we're not talking about him enough. But no, I think he's going to be in a very good situation, and just is one of the many reasons why there's reasons to be optimistic about this defensive line being better against the run. I think he's part of it, and I think he's a big part of it.
He's going to be a huge part of it. We've got from J. Roland 14 says, which offensive rookies will make the biggest fantasy football impact this year? On the Browns, the only option, I think, is Duke Johnson.
Right. And I think if you
look. And I don't even know that I think Duke Johnson is worth drafting in all fantasy leagues. I don't know how big of an impact he'll make, but he's the only one.
Right. I think Malcolm Johnson's going to get some touches if he gets in that H-back position, but maybe nothing consistent enough to where you're going to want to put him in your lineup, I would think. But he's just going to have you think if he does what they want him to, he's going to have a very important role that maybe just isn't necessarily reflected with good stats and things like that.
Yeah, the real impact and fantasy impact are two different things. Here's a question I got. Jim West says, any chance another team tries to make a trade with the Browns while Farmer is suspended, which would be bad for the Browns? I don't think they may try. I don't think the Browns are going to be making trades at that point
anyway.
And NFL doesn't work that way.
Everyone always goes back to the fact that the Trent Richardson trade happened during that time of year, but that was a big exception. That's definitely not the norm. I think there is more trading happening in the NFL than maybe a few years ago, but I just don't see that happening.
I don't think that's anything that anybody needs to worry about at all.
If that's something you're worrying about at this time of year, then everything else must be okay with this roster, and you're really kind of digging deep for things to get stressed about.
Yeah, don't worry about that. There are going to be some good battles out there for this team, but I'm not worried about somebody trying to take advantage of the Browns. And he said, what about Demaryius Thomas for Hayden, Betonio, and Gilbert? No way.
Not happening.
Is what I would say. And that's definitely, first of all, it's not happening. Second of all, that's not a trade that I would make either if I was this team, the Cleveland Browns. So, British Open week, we've talked about that. I love that. Home Run Derby tonight, that's a lot of fun. You had Wimbledon over the weekend. Good sports time, but now it kind of gets a little bit quiet. until training camp picks up, and then the news cycles will kind of get going again. I do want to ask you this. We talked about it earlier off the air. Tristan Thompson and the Cavs seem to be far apart in their valuations. What do you think about it? I don't think that he's necessary to come back. If LeBron didn't like him, I don't think there'd be any reason to have him back. You don't need to pay a guy who can't score, is not interested in scoring. Is he the best offensive rebounder in the league? Sure, of course he is. But you're already paying Anderson Varejao $10 million a year. And sure, can you count on him? No. Could he get hurt? Of course. But Tristan Thompson, to me, is not a max player. He's not even close to a max player.
Yeah, I don't know. Because there are the definition of max player tends to be fluctuating by the week in the NBA. I mean, I think the contract that just came out that it just kind of blew me away was Enes Kanter with the Trailblazers gave him
and then they
a
matched
max
it.
Offer. And Oklahoma City, which is not a team that is in a great position, like luxury tax kind of matters to the Thunder. They're going to be a luxury tax team now because they matched that offer. And I know people have rolled out the stats that he's a double-double. He had 20 and 10 11 times in 26 games with the Thunder, but that was a different Thunder team without Durant, where he
right.
was maybe there was more opportunities for him to pile up the points and things like that. The fact that he's getting a max deal tells me then, yes, Tristan Thompson is a max deal player. If that's the new normal.
But Tristan Thompson didn't have 11, 20, and 10 games.
But this is kind of like the fantasy football discussion. There's the fantasy value, and then there's
sure.
the non-fantasy value. I do think, though, the LeBron happiness factor plays so much
of course.
Into this. And I think that's why all this talk right now, it's inevitable. I think that there's going to be a deal done eventually, because no matter what, the Cavs can give him more money and can match whatever he would get elsewhere. So his best option is always to come back to Cleveland. Like, there's really no better alternative option than that right now. I think it's just a matter of kind of quibbling over a few million here and there. But I the thing I like about Thompson is that he's gotten noticeably better with each season. So I think that we've yet to see how good he can be. The guy just switched shooting hands for free throws. So, you know, you think he might get better in that part of his game. If he can develop a mid-range jump shot, he becomes a completely different player and even a more dynamic player. So I see the upside. I think all the NBA salaries are ridiculous except for the superstars, who are probably underpaid.
They're all – it's crazy.
Long way to say I think he's worth what they're paying based on what the NBA is currently paying players right now.
I have a tough time with it. I have a tough time with a guy who catches the ball in the NBA, a guy who catches the ball 10 feet from the basket unguarded and doesn't even think about scoring the basketball.
The finals were very good to him. I mean, the playoffs in general made him so much money because of what he did. And that's why I'll be – when he does come back to this team, that's going to be a huge storyline. Is he going to be a starter on this team? Because you wonder if he – it works so well with him starting, but with Kevin Love back, it doesn't make sense to put him in the lineup. So you're basically giving a max deal to a sixth man, and
right.
that's where it gets that's where it gets tricky.
He's definitely not starting.
You don't think they can make it work with him in the lineup at some point, like somehow?
You can't have Mozgov, Love, and Tristan all on the floor.
Do you make Mozgov your sixth man?
I don't think so.
And go small, like
and just go small. Then you just don't need to pay all those guys. Let alone Varejao. Who you've got to pay. I don't know.
I guess maybe this is the mentality. It's like we think it's our money almost. Like this is a team.
It's whatever he wants. He's already paying the biggest luxury tax bill ever.
Right. I mean, that's and it's not going to affect anything. Maybe it will down the road make things more expensive. But I think the discussion that's being had with the salary on this team is that it may look bad this year, but when that salary cap goes crazy next year, then all of a sudden the Cavs are in good financial shape. So we'll see. I think he's going to be back. I think this is kind of one of those summer NBA stories that kind of drags a little bit. And I think someone brought up that one of other his agent's clients, Eric Bledsoe, had his contract thing drag out throughout an entire summer.
Sure.
So it's kind of a methodical negotiations that are going on. But I think he's going to be back, and I think he'll be the highest paid sixth man in NBA history for now.
We'll see. I don't know if that's – and again, I don't even know if he's worth that, but if LeBron wants him back, then he should be back.
That's
and to me
– that's why your guy, J.R. Smith, might be coming back. Now.
That's the end of the story. That's it right there. All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts here, wrapping it up on this – edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.